And Narelle Krizak joins us on DSR. Thank you very much, Narelle. How is everything today in New Jersey?
Today is great. I'm actually in Maryland. We live in Maryland and work in New Jersey. So I just picked my boys up from school today, and it's fleeting out, so it's lovely.
You have pretty much single-handedly founded and developed the WDSA, which is essentially the Professional Women's Hardball Doubles Tour in North America. And it's quite a success story. Please tell us how you got the idea and how you got it started.
My husband and I, Rob, and I were the pros at the Field Club of Greenwich. We always ran the North American Open, which is the men's pro doubles event, alongside a women's singles Harrow Open, and thought there was definitely a need to encourage female players to keep playing squash in America after they graduate from college, and had gone to Canada to play in the World Open with Stephanie Hewitt, and at the time her husband was running the men's tour. So mentioned to her that I thought we could use some events in America for pro women, and approached Patrick Turner, who is the head sponsor for the women's tour. We have an event named after him, the Turner Cup, and approached him and asked him his thoughts on it and if he would back me for the first year, as well as a lady, Christine DeRose, who's on the board from Denver. She's with RBC Wealth Management. She's also one of the lead sponsors. And they thought it was a great idea. So many of the young American girls don't play squash after college and just give up the game. So I thought there was definitely a way to get them involved being a team sport. So started with Greenwich and with Denver, and we had Apawamis as well as an event. So they were very successful, and since 2007, with three events, now we have 11 on the calendar.
That's tremendous. So it's been about 8 years then, is that correct?
This is our eighth season, yep.
That's fantastic. Describe the sport for those who have never seen it or played it, if you could.
The best way to describe it, if you haven't seen squash, it's like racquetball.
Let's describe it to squash players, singles players who've never really seen hardball doubles, maybe.
Okay, it's on a bigger court, a longer court, and half the width of a singles court wider, played with a hardball. The strategy of the game is opposite to singles. It's more like tennis, where you cross court the ball more, which sets you up to be able to shoot more and attack more with more angles. One of the ladies playing this weekend said the geometry of it's totally different. You hit more reverse bows, more three-wall bows, and skid bows, which is a high bow from the back wall to get a good cross court against your opponent. So your strategy is to attack the person on your opposite wall, not the person on the wall with you, which you would do in singles.
I see. So you're not hitting it down the wall too much against you. You're not getting any of these exchanges on a specific wall with your opponent. You're mainly bringing it cross court. Is that correct?
Yeah. If you go up and down the wall, you set your partner up to get attacked. If you hit a loose straight drive, then the opponent on your wall will hit cross court hard at your partner, which then makes her be defensive. So your goal is to cross court, which allows your partner to stay up in front of the tee. And that's another thing that's different. You're playing more in front of the tee in doubles than at the tee.
Does one player typically play a little bit forward than the partner?
It depends on your opponent. If the person on, say I'm on the right wall and the person on the left wall is weaker, the person on the right wall will stand up further so that they can cover. It also depends on the mobility of the team. If one of your players is slower, then your partner would stand up further.
Most
of the mobile players will cover more.
Do most of the professional tour players have a preferred wall?
Some of the girls do, but now we're finding, because we've gotten more of the singles girls playing and more of the American or more of the collegiate girls playing, who were good singles players, they can play both walls. We actually had that this weekend in St. Louis, where the pro mixed mixed the professional doubles girls up, and it was better because we all could play both walls.
Is the racket different than the singles racket?
No, it's the same racket, only the ball is different. The ball's the same size, but it's hard, like a lacrosse ball.
Is the ball, how is the ball compared to the traditional North American singles 70-plus hard ball?
Is that the red ball?
Yes, I guess it is, yeah.
So the blue ball that we use is a little bit harder and faster. The red ball is a little bit softer. They use that in Denver for the altitude, so it doesn't skid as much. If they use the blue ball, it would be too fast and skiddy.
Can you hit more nicks in doubles, outright nicks that roll out, than you can in singles, softball singles?
Yeah, because the ball can stay down. You can hit it harder, and the speed of it can make it stay lower.
Do you hit double boasts or no?
If that happens, it's generally lucky. A couple of the guys, like Damian Mudge, can hit a double boast, but it's definitely harder to be able to do it.
And Philadelphia boasts are still in play?
Yeah, that's... The Philly's the reverse one, correct? The high reverse?
From up front, yeah, where it ends up parallel to the back wall.
Yeah, I try to hit a lot of that. If I'm under pressure and I've had to cover in the front corner from my partner, then I generally hit the Philly.
And what is the 10?
Be...
I'm sorry.
Sorry. No, you go.
What is the 10 height?
In inches?
Well, compared to the singles court.
It's a little bit lower. So that's a good way for shoot. It helps the shooter better. They can hit the ball down more.
What is a scoring system?
It's every point counts to 15, and there's no tiebreaker anymore. They changed that rule last year.
Do you like that rule?
I do. It puts a lot more pressure on the server, and actually the better team should generally come out on top at 14-all. However, it can go either way, so it's exciting for the crowd.
Do you hard serve at all, overhand serve?
I personally don't. I'm more of height. There's a couple of the girls that do hard serve, but I don't really think it's as effective as it is in the men's game.
Do you think, as far as the scoring system, you think singles squash, aside from the pro game, should be played to 15?
I think for the beginners, it's easier to understand it. I think fitness-wise, it's okay to go to 15 with the every point count. So it's good for the amateur to go a little bit longer so they get a good workout. I think on the pro level, it's better that it's 11 because there's more shooting and it doesn't take as long. If not, their matches would go forever.
Now, your background, Narelle, was as a pro singles player on what is now the WSA World Tour, correct?
Yes.
And how long did you follow the tour around the world and play full-time?
I started when I was 17 out of high school. I went to the Institute of Sport in Australia. And so I played for 5 years on tour. I got to 23 in the world.
That's great. And you have won most of the major doubles events yourself, often with different partners, which is very impressive. How much of an adjustment was it and is it to reach the upper echelon of the hardball doubles game?
I actually started playing when we were in Baltimore at Baltimore Country Club when I first moved over here. So I got to actually spend a lot of time on there and would get to solo practice. So for me, the biggest thing was figuring out the angles. The technique is the same. I was really lucky to be taught by a good group of guys down there the actual strategy of it. Once I figured that out, it was pretty easy for me to adjust. I actually like it better because there is more shooting involved. For me, singles was a little more boring because you had to just go up and down and be patient. So doubles was a lot of fun, and I actually liked training for it.
That was my next question. Is it in some ways more fun than singles on a daily basis?
For me, it is because you actually have a group of people to be on court with, and you have a partner. So I like the team aspect of it. For me, when I played for the world team in Australia as a junior, that was the best fun for me. I'm definitely more of a team player than an individual. I need someone to be motivated for. So it makes my sister and I laugh. We always, she doesn't have a doubles court to play on, but when we have an event together, we'll always check in every day and make sure we're going to the gym.
Are there situations where you take a bigger wind up, a bigger backswing than you do in singles?
I would say for me, hitting off the back wall, if you're trying to hit a low hard kill shot up front, in the front of the court, I would swing bigger just because the court's longer. But not necessarily. The guys do a little bit just because they can generate so much more power. The girls, it's still more of a finesse game.
Do you shoot much from the back of the court?
I've been known to. I go for it a little bit more than most of the other people just because I'm comfortable doing that. I know I can be steady, but I'm comfortable shooting.
That's good. That's what we want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell us a little bit about some of the key players currently on the tour.
Yeah, well, Susie Pierrepont, who's been a steady and staple player. She was 23 in the world as well in singles. We now have my sister, obviously, she was 19 in the world. She's able to play all of the events as well now that her boys are a little bit older. Amanda Sobey, who's top 10 in the world at singles, Harvard, about to be a Harvard graduate, four-time collegiate individual champion just this past weekend. So she's definitely the type of girl we're going after. And so she's been playing a fair amount of the events. She won the world title 2 years ago with Nat Granger, who hasn't played as much, but she just played in the Turner Cup. And then you've got players like Rachel Grinham, former world number one, played with Jenny Duncar a month ago in New York, alongside the Tournament of Champions, the singles event.
Right, but how did they? How much of a struggle did they have coming in kind of cold into that event?
Jenny definitely struggled. Her type of style in singles is very up and down the wall, volley, but up and down the wall more. Rachel's style is more like mine, where it's flicky, boasting, hold and flick. So she definitely picked up doubles very quickly and really enjoyed it. She wants to continue playing, especially after she retires, so that's great.
Yeah, that'd be great if you got her full-time on the tour. That'd be fantastic.
And then you also have, like, your American player, like Latasha Khan, plays when she's not playing on the singles tour. So it's hard for the girls, depending on the schedule, but we're working with WSA to try to set some of the events alongside their events so we can get the crossover.
How many more events do you have this season?
We have, coming up, we have Denver, Florida, the Worlds in Chicago, the Hamptons, and Nantucket just came on the calendar, so five more.
That's tremendous, really. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, just jump around for a second. Why do the women tend to cheerfully hang around events, singles or doubles, when they've lost? An hour later, they're showered and fresh and mingling with the crowd and cheering on the next match. The men are halfway to the airport at that point. Why is that?
I think just in general, women have a more of a social personality. Just in life, they want to be hanging out and having a cup of coffee and having a chat. So they're, even though they're sad they've lost, they're happy to go and socialize and be a part of it. Men, I think, not to be rude, but I think their ego comes more involved, and if they've lost, they don't really want to be a part of it anymore. Their job was to show up and play, and once they've lost, they don't want to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's understandable. You wouldn't want to be a part of it at that point.
No.
We're men.
But I think that's why we're successful, is because you have to play pro-ams at the event. So for us, we're all fine showering and coming back and playing a pro-am match and actually getting to know the participants involved in the event.
Where did you grow up specifically in Australia, and when did you start playing squash as a kid?
We grew up in Brisbane, north of Sydney. Our mum and dad had a squash club, mainly because my mum wanted a swimming pool, so she worked part-time at a club when I was probably 1 year old and Tash was one and three quarters. So Mum would take us to the squash club and we'd run around there, and Dad was a player himself. He was a top A player. So he would just, we'd play hockey on the court. And then eventually, by the time we were about five, we could hit off the front wall and play. And we then moved to another club. They managed another facility across town, which is a big gym and squash facility. And then eventually they bought a club called Brookside Squash Club, which was our family club, was the biggest in Brisbane eventually once they took it over. So from a young age, we were always playing adult league, junior league, team events. So it was just part of our life. We lived at the squash club too, so people used to just come over and hang out the house while we were at the pool. So it was a fun way to grow up.
Absolutely. How well organized was competitive junior squash in Australia at that point?
Oh, it was big. We had so many leagues. There were a lot of, it was co-ed for the juniors, so you could play on the boys' team. So but I think for us that was fun, and that's why we're comfortable playing with the guys on tour as well. It's like another competitor. But we had, they would have seasonal leagues, but there was at least 10 teams in each division of five kids on a team, so it was really big then. Now it's not as big, but they're trying to revamp it back there.
So how did you end up ultimately settling down in the States?
I took my sister's job at Marion Cricket Club. I started there 16 years ago as an assistant. Because she left to go marry my host, who was my host at a single tournament in Las Vegas. So I took her job because she retired the year before me, or 2 years before me. So I took her job because I just wasn't going to make it, I didn't think, on the singles tour. For me to go to the next level would have been pretty hard. So I thought I was better off getting a job and making some money instead of living off my dad. So I settled at Philly and then met my husband, Rob, at a tournament in Hartford, Connecticut. He was the director of Racket Sports up in Hartford. So I met him, and then ever since then, we've been running clubs together.
Natasha now is based in the Southwest, or where is she exactly?
Right. Yep, she's in Oklahoma.
It's in Oklahoma, okay. Does she have any squash available?
She has one court that she plays at I think it's at OU. And she plays with one guy, Trey. She's actually taking him out to the singles nationals in March in Charlottesville.
Oh, great. Well, it's pretty remarkable she can perform as well as she can on your tour when she doesn't even play the game during the week.
It's crazy. She's I think she's one of the most talented ones. If she actually got to train, I don't think anyone would beat her, actually.
Well, you have, Narelle, you've carved out quite an unlikely niche in the world of squash. A lot of people have tried various tours and with mixed success, but what is the key to running and sustaining an effective tour as you have done?
I think our goal was to try to get only a certain amount of events. So we first set out, after we got the first three, we set out saying, okay, let's get seven. And then once we get seven, let's raise the prize money. So our goal was not to thin it out where there was a good group of girls that we could go and showcase the game, where people would then want us to come back. The girls have been really supportive of me, knowing what we started from. They're really appreciative of what they get to go do and how much money they actually walk away with. Most of the girls will leave at least covering their costs. So one of the other structures we put in place was that we paid out all the way through, starting at first round, but also if we had a qualification draw, we would pay the girls in qualification. And I think that was a good enough incentive to get girls to participate. And now at each event we have qualification. So for most of the events we have qualifying draws. So that's really good. They also know how much I love the game. And I really enjoy being around it and getting to know them and trying to encourage them all to play. I'm not out there just for myself. and them thinking I'm just trying to make the money for myself. I'm actually really trying to get more people involved. So we actually had last weekend in St. Louis, a girl, Phoebe from Portland, came out and played. She had so much fun that she's going to try to get an event out in Portland, Oregon. So I think once people are involved with us and they see how much we actually like it and want to grow the amateur game as well, they want to help and support us.
You have added streaming to some of the events also, correct, this year?
Yep. Yep, we have UB Sports.
And I've looked in. I've looked in on a couple of them. The sport seems to televise very well. Is that your? Do you think so too?
Yeah, I think so too. I think there's enough action that it's not boring. I saw on TV on the weekend. I didn't realize it was on, but the TOC was on TV, and I can't get over how well it showcases now. So maybe we can get involved with PSA TV and see if they can help us.
There, I'm just thinking out loud, but there is a glass court now in Toronto, correct? A four wall. Do you use a different? Do you use a white ball on that, or is that?
I'm not sure what they use. I know Harrow has worked at getting a doubles ball made as well, so I'm pretty sure they're ready to go with their hard ball, and it would be probably pretty easy for them to switch the colors. I would assume the best is on Wensia Club in Chicago. They're looking at actually building an all glass movable court. So I'm sure then they'll look at the ball, depending on the wall colors.
Well, that's fantastic. Anything else you'd like to add, Narelle?
Not really. I'm trying to think. We pretty much covered it all. If anyone wants to be a corporate sponsor, we'd love to have them.
Okay. What's the very next event? When is that? The very next stop on the tour?
We have the Harsham Khan Open in Denver. It's a $20,000 event this year. They're showcasing the women this year. Next year will be the men. That was the other thing. The other thing we do well as a tour, I think, is that we link with local charities. So at 85% of our events, we're with a charity. So part of our mission was to link with urban programs as well as breast cancer, because our mum passed away with breast cancer. So for me being a mum, I wasn't able to give my time to be able to go to the local soup kitchen or because I had little babies. So I felt the only way to be able to give back is to help raise money for the local charity. So we've been able to do that.
That's terrific.
Great. Yeah.
Does the tour have a media person, a writer?
Rob Dinnerman has done all our writing for us. So he's been involved with us since we started. So that's great.
How are Rob's write-ups of the events?
It's great. A lot of people actually, some people don't like them, but a lot of people, my dad actually really enjoys reading them. So he's been reading squash for a lot of years, so I trust his judgment. So
why don't some people like those?
People like them? They just think they're too long.
I think Rob's the best in the business. I'll read anything that Rob will ever write. Yeah. No, that's great. You're lucky to have him, and it's a nice fit, a nice marriage there. So hopefully we can keep that going.
Yeah, he's been really supportive of us. I said that to someone this weekend. I was like, we've been so lucky that he's supported us as much as he has. So.
Absolutely. Well, Narelle, thank you so much. This has been a pleasure to speak to you.
Great. Thanks, Ted.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.